And then we'll have Heather come sing for us here in a minute. Let me get rid of this. I don't know why I do that. I literally just put it in my mouth. We'll let Sandy grab a song there. And Miss Violet Melhorn, tell us when you got saved.
I think 48, 49.
Have you ever spent any time with these two? I'm telling you what, it is a hoot. So he says 1948, 1949, and she looks at her and says, "You don't know." All right, let's do this. What church were you going to when you got saved? Okay, is that here?
In Morgan County.
In Morgan County. Okay, and you don't remember how old you were?
Not really.
A long time ago.
But I remember the very time that I realized the difference being born again and never going back was the minute I gave birth to my daughter. Before that, I sort of questioned it in my mind.
Right. Yeah. No going back.
No going back.
Right. I mean, even if it's just 2 minutes after birth, you can't put it back. Hey, you know what, Violet? Thank you for sharing. Isn't that a cool thought? You know, because I guess lots of times, human nature, I mean, people may say they've never doubted or they've never had a thought about, are you saved? Did you lose it? You know, because it's just human nature, especially when you sin, right? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said that because he was wallowing in the dirt, right? And he didn't feel clean. And I really like that. That's a good analogy, you know? I mean, once you're born again, you're born, you know?
Even though I was brought up in the church, I always believed in that, once saved, always saved.
Right. Well, I think a lot of that times that comes from just human nature being a sinner. You know, if John the Baptist can feel that way, if Elijah can feel that way, well, who are you and I to not get to a point where maybe that your situation becomes bigger than you are, right? But that's what you have a Bible for, and that's what you have as promises, because they don't move. And that's really good. Thank you for sharing that with us. So, all right, what song are we going to sing?
I love to tell the story.
Is okay.
That okay?
Well, if you grab your hymn book.
297.
And turn to 297. Hymn number 297. Hymn number 297. And let's stand if you would. Indeed, there's just three verses. On the third verse, if we'll have some guys come up and help us take up the offering, and God, Alan, Ron, and Mike might need just one more. Josh, would you mind helping them do that? Okay. We'll do that on the last. Okay, Miss Sandy, come help me out.
Jesus.
Take up the offering this evening. And Brother Mike, if you would pray for us. You can be seated. Let me ask you a question as they're getting ready to do that. Hey, she roped in some help. Okay. Let me ask you this question. Does anybody want to give like a testimony or an example of some time, maybe in the past days or maybe the past weeks or the past month where you have, we just sang a song about I love to tell the story. Well, who are you telling the story to? Okay, I mean, it's, and what story is it? The story of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, when you look at Paul preaching, most of the time you'll find when he was preaching and you've actually got, not the letters that he was writing, those are different, but he was actually up in front of somebody. You're going to just hear him tell the same story over and over again, what Jesus did for him on the road to Damascus. That was the story he loved to tell. And he told that thing 100 times. So, does anybody have an example of sometime recently or not so recently where you got to share that story with somebody? Anybody? I know you have. It's just whether or not you'll step out and brave the weather. I could pick on Greg because he's always telling me about people that he's talked to, but I won't do that too. I'll just think about that, maybe for next time. If you can't find one within the past week or month, it really isn't that difficult, right? Because we all have a responsibility with the gospel, right? And not just the pastor. So what are we supposed to be doing this week when we leave? We got to go live our life. As you live your life, you will come across people. Those are the people that you look for opportunities wherever they are to tell this story. And what story is it? What Jesus did for you. So since I didn't even get any takers, I was in Wyoming with the kids. We were doing a horseback ride. And it's 2 hours long. The lady in the front of the horse ride, she had spent some time in South Africa. So that's an easy one for me because we have something in common. We talked about South Africa. The young lady behind me seemed as though she was interested in Christians. She certainly was interested in what I did. And she asked all kinds of questions about Africa, but she also asked she asked a question about how did I know that I was supposed to be a preacher. So at that moment, I got to tell her my story. And we're just riding horses. All right? It was just as simple as that. And through that dialogue, I got to share with her, you know, my journey to being a pastor. You know, and it started, there was a time when I wasn't a pastor and I was lost. And I was able to share that with her. It really is that simple. Anybody can do it. Okay? And by the way, anybody can lead somebody to Lord. Randy Burch, I'll tell on him, he was telling me that he had met a guy the other day and he was witnessing to him and he tried to call me. He tried to call me because the person had questions about salvation and he wasn't totally sure, so he wanted to call me so that I could kind of back him up and check it out and talk to the person. And he couldn't get me because I was in Wyoming and I didn't have good cell signal. So he said he just had to go it alone. And then he called another preacher, and that preacher told him the same thing. He said he answered his phone, but he told him, he said, "Randy, you know the story. Just tell him the story." And he told me, he said, his crutch has always been when he gets them that far, he'd get them to the preacher. Well, we're not the only people that know the story. You know the story, right? It's what God did to you, you know? So this week, why don't we pray and ask God to give us an opportunity where we can just share that story, you know? And you'll be surprised who's willing to listen, you know, if you just pray for that opportunity, you know? And it might be awkward for you, but we were at Old Faithful, okay? And now I do cheat a little bit. I am a people person, right? Okay, and some people maybe aren't. So might be a little different. We're at Old Faithful, and there's this guy sitting in front of us, louder than me, if you can believe that or not, right? Okay, and he's sitting down in front of him, and he said, I mean, there's like hundreds of people there. And out of the blue, he, loud as can be, he's really not talking to anybody but himself and whoever can hear him. And last he said, last time I was here was 48 years ago. I'm like, who cares, you know? And he just went on about, and he said, when I was 11 years old, I remember this Old Faithful being so spectacular. And then he says, of course, I'm only 11 years old. Still, nobody's talking to him, really. He's just talking to whoever's listening, right? And then it starts up, and he goes, okay, Old Faithful, don't let me down now. And I look at that, I'm like, oh, what kind of a... You know, what I got to tell you for sure is, if he can do that, we got something inside of us. I guess it's something I get convicted about. I don't want to sing a lie, right? I'm going to go to church, sing something that I don't believe or mean. All right, so if we sing, I love to tell the story. Well, this week we've got to find some place to tell that story to. And then that it can be simply followed up and say, by the way, you know, you can hear that same story. Why don't you come visit us at church sometime, and off you go. All right, ladies, are you ready? tell him he needs to split the offering with you, okay? Yeah. And Sunday school, we were reading today in the book of Revelation, it says that there was a multitude in heaven. It was in like chapter 8 or 9. And I told my Sunday school class, I said, a multitude that you can't number. It says that. A multitude you can't number in heaven. You know, there's probably going to be more people in hell just because the Bible says straight is the gate. Few that follow that, and wide is a gate that leads to destruction, and many. But don't forget this. There's a number that you can't number how many people are in heaven. Well, we want to tell the story to people who don't know it already, but don't forget, there are people out there, your brothers and sisters everywhere. And a conversation like that is really encouraging. And you won't know each other unless somebody makes the first step and identifies what family you're from. And the second you do that, I mean, it closes really fast, right? He was excited. He didn't know steel workers could be Christians. You know, I mean, he was, yeah, he was taken back by here's this guy that you would, if you stereotyped him, would not, you'd expect him to swear, you would expect him to do other things, you wouldn't expect him to be out there talking about the Lord. Well, that's just what it means about telling your story. And when I look at these things, I just don't want to sing something that I don't mean, right? So, you know, and the next time you open up the book and you look at the words, ask yourself about it. I'm about ready to sing this. Do I even mean this? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And then you got to at least smile and say amen, right? All right, ladies. Hey, you can sing a couple of them if you want.
It was told that he would come, and the race he would run, it would end on an old rugged cross. But when they laid him in that tomb, the power of the Lord went in that room, and now he's coming back someday to take us home with him to stay, where his glory forever we will share. And when that first trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound up there. But when they left, The power of the Lord went in that room, and now he reigns forevermore. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon a tree. Stripes, we are healed. By his blood, we are sealed. Yeah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Church, he's coming back someday to take us home with him to stay where his glory forever we will share. And when that first trumpet sounds, we will all be glory bound. Up there we'll live forevermore. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb upon a tree. By his stripes we are healed, by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Take your Bibles, and let's go to the book of Luke. I am not going to, I've been now almost 2 years, 3 years preaching here, because I did the first year, I did a lot of preaching, and it's been 2 years since you guys, I became your pastor. And so you know that I hardly ever do this. I'm going to change my message, because I don't have a choice. I just don't think, I say it all the time, God doesn't do random. And we're talking about, I love to tell the story, and then they sing that song. And I was just thinking about everything else that you preach in the Bible, any message that you could do, all centers around this, what they just sang about. You know, there would be none of that if before the foundation of the world, if you think about it, it says that Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before the world ever began, whenever they decided they were going to create a world and put humans on that world, that before that happened, he was already knew that he was going to be a lamb slain. He already knew that. So somewhere in a meeting room in heaven, just the way my mind works, could you see God sitting down, himself, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus? And they're discussing what's going to happen when they create the world. And they're discussing, you know, what it's going to look like, the making of man, putting the animals, and doing all of that. You know, and they talk about, because he knows the beginning from the end. If he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, then he had to knew there would be one day sin on the world. In the world, there'd be no reason to have a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when it came to that point, and when they were looking at the situation on the earth, they discussed the problem. God talked about the solution, and the solution would be his son, Jesus. Without that, none of it exists. So I just figured tonight we're just going to go ahead and take a little walk here, through this. If you would go to Luke chapter 23. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. And I just pray this evening you would help us, Lord, just as we visit a little bit. I believe this is what you'd have us to do tonight. We just spend a little bit of time with Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And I honestly believe a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely fixes every problem that a human being can have. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can endure any situation you would ever go through, because he is the prime example of love, of forgiveness. And when you look at his life and know that we have that relationship with, we can learn so much. And what I want you to do is just open your heart, and I want you, the best of your ability, ask God to make this very real so we could just get to know Jesus just a little bit more this evening. In chapter 23, it says this, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And who is him? That would be Jesus. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. Can you imagine that? Here is Jesus. He's by himself, and there's people everywhere around him. And at this point, they get up, they stand up, and they follow him as he is led to Pilate. Can you imagine how alone at that moment he must feel, because he's by himself? And it goes on to say, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." So you've not only got one person behind you, you don't just have two people behind you, you've got a whole multitude behind you, and they're following you. They stood up and they're following you, and they're taking you to Pilate. And on the way there, they're just not walking you there, they're accusing you the whole entire time, saying that you're a blasphemer, saying that you said you were, and he is the Son of Christ. I mean, he is the Son of God. He is the living Christ. And he's being accused of that the whole entire way. And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" Can you imagine having to answer that question from just a person? Here's this king who thinks he's got some sort of, here's Pilate, this authority figure, thinks he's got some sort of power. And Jesus is in a position where he's the subject. Pilate's the one that's in charge, and he's actually asking the creator of the universe, "You said that you're a king." He's asking the very person that made him, "Do you believe Jesus was present at creation?" "Absolutely." And he's asking the very creator himself these questions. And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people." Verse 6, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem. And when Herod saw Jews, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And Herod, when he was there, he actually had in front of him the Son of God. And he was excited, not because he believed in who he was, but because he believed all the excitement about the miracles that he did. And that's what he was interested in. And Jesus didn't answer anything. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently and accused him. Could you imagine the religious people, the people that their grandparents and their grandparents and their grandparents, you could trace them all the way back to Abraham. And those very same people who knew the Old Testament and who knew what was going to come, those very same people are there and they're accusing him. Could you just imagine having to face that on Judgment Day, knowing that you actually had the Messiah right in front of you, and you let religion get in the way of the truth? Goes on to say this, and Herod was with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So he's there, and his army is there. His men of war were there, and they mocked him. Could you imagine what that mocking must have been like as this king, this human king, sat there and just mocked Jesus, and the things that they said. No, listen, he's God, in a human body, enduring all of that just for me and you. And he had to listen to the words and the swearing and talking about his father and talking about who he was and making fun of that. Yet inside of him was the power of the universe, and he did nothing. Because, guys, he was on a journey. Listen, down here, there's going to be all kinds of distraction, guys. There's going to be all kinds of places that will get us our mind off of what we're supposed to do. If Jesus could stay focused, if Jesus could stay in the game, if he could have his heart and his mind where it needed to be in the middle of all of this, because all it would take at one time for him to be God right there on the spot and for him to knock every one of them down and for him to call the angels from heaven, at that moment, every one of us would be lost forever. If Jesus did not let the day get to him, if Jesus didn't let the words get to him, do you don't think that those words hurt? Do you don't think those words offended him? Yet he stayed focused on what his goal was to do, and that was to save you and I. Now that he's done that, and now that we've received that, our goal down here, in a world that hated him and is going to hate us and is going to distract us from the goal. And what is our goal? That our goal is to live for him. And we can't get distracted by what people say. We can't get distracted by what's going on around us and in this world. We got to keep our mind on him. And the goal is to serve him. And the goal is to bring him honor and glory. If Jesus could keep his eye on the goal, that's you and I. For us, our goal is the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into heaven to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Goes on and says this. And the same, you know, they put a robe on him. And it was a nice robe. It was a gorgeous robe. But they're just mocking because he said he was a king. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I've examined him before you and have found no fault in this man." Verse 15, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once. Who's they? That's that multitude that followed them down to Pilate. They're still standing there. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." You know, the people crying out to them were his brethren. They were the Jews. That's who's assembled out there. They're the ones that are saying, "Crucify." And he said, "Just let me release them." And they said, "No, release unto us Barabbas." Can you imagine saying, we want you to let go a known criminal, somebody that has hurt all kinds of people. We want you to let him go, and we want you to crucify this man. And it says, down in verse 20, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again, Pilate therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." Can you imagine hearing that in your ears as you're standing there? A multitude of people saying, "We don't want him." Guys, we've never had a bad day. I mean, the worst thing, the worst offense that's ever happened to a human being doesn't come close to what Jesus endured that day. And they're hearing in the background people saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." In verse 22, "And he said unto them the third time, What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed." Pilate didn't want to do it, but the pressure was so much in that crowd that their voices prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will, so they let Barabbas go that day. Could you imagine Pilate going over and saying, cut him loose? Let him go. And then Jesus went over and took his place. Do you know right there what a time could stop right there? See, Barabbas is you and I. And he's let go. And then Jesus stood right where that man stood. The innocent for the guilty. I mean, just if you could just live in that moment, seeing Jesus take that man's spot. Now he's the criminal. Now he's the guilty one. Now he's got to pay. And he didn't do anything. His only crime is he loved you. And as that day unfolded, verse 26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never gave, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us up. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry? Well, man, can you imagine Jesus? These people are wailing. And they're crying, and he turns around and he looks at him and he says, don't cry for me. You need to cry for yourself. And he's talking about the days that are coming. If they treated Jesus like this, what are they going to do to you? If they treated him like this, how's it going to be for you? If they're doing this now, wait till I'm gone. Whew. Now, if you look here, in verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine hearing that from the cross? You know, all of this stuff's going around him. He's on that cross, and he knows that his Father in heaven, he can see all of this. And I don't know what's going on up there, but at that moment, he wanted to let his Father know. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Man. You know, there's not anything that we have in our life that even comes close to what he did right there. For all of humanity. He cried out and he asked his Father to forgive them. And verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them desired him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. So they said, okay, hey, yeah, he saved other people. Let him save himself. Why does it, you know, let's see what he's got, what he can do right now. The next verse. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Can you imagine laughing at Jesus as that stuff hit his mouth, trying to get him to drink it? And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And you know there were two other people on either side of him. And one of those guys was just angry and bitter about life and everything else. In front of him, there was no hope. That was the end of his life. And he was going out bitter and lost. But see, they had been observing what had happened to Jesus. We don't know. I mean, more than likely, they followed Jesus down the same road that he walked. More than likely, they were either carrying their cross or somebody else was carrying it. It was a procession to Calvary. There were two other people that day that were going the same direction. So it only made common sense that there was a line heading that way. Maybe it was a thief and then Jesus and a thief. And it might have been Jesus and two thieves, and then when they got on Calvary, they spread them out. But it would only stand to reason that they have been observing everything that's happened to Jesus since they headed to Calvary. They heard the mocking. They watched him push Jesus. They watched him spit on him. They watched him be beat. And they're observing his actions. Could you imagine this one over here the whole entire time? He would fight, kick, and scream and spit back at the crowd. This one over here is just watching Jesus and his reaction. Maybe he was like his friend, but as the journey began to go, he watched this man react in a way that was not human. And when he got on the cross and they nailed him there and they sat it up, and there he is just trying to breathe, that other thief watched him tell his father to forgive him. And man, the truth of that story went right straight to his heart and began to give hope. Could you imagine finding hope on that cross? Could you imagine at that moment expecting death and whatever lay on the other side of that, actually beginning to see hope, that the light of the glorious gospel was so bright, it penetrated that dark moment of two people that were no doubt going to bust hell wide open, and one of them, Lloyd, saw hope. They began to see that man is not like us. That man is different. That man, and all of a sudden it dawned on him, that man is the Messiah. He is right there. And if he is the Messiah, then he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and perhaps he would save me. And on that cross, Greg, that man began to get a little bit of hope. What kind of, presumptuous person would think that he possibly could change his destiny right there on the cross? Well, he couldn't, but Jesus could. I mean, he had a one-way ticket straight to hell, and it's getting ready to be tore up. And man, I tell you, I just think about what he's doing. He is dying for the world, yet taking time to save one. He's got his hands full. I mean, Satan himself entered Judas. I mean, they're just wanting this to fail. Satan wants Jesus to call 10,000 angels. I mean, he wants him to have a human moment, and it's all over. I mean, when it talks about the hounds of Bashan in Psalms, when it's talking about the crucifixion there all around him, gaping on him, that's what's going on. I mean, he's at the darkest moment in his life, yet he has the time and the heart as he's dying for the world. He turns around and has compassion on one that's right there. May I tell you something? If Jesus can tell his story right there, we can tell ours out there. If he could take that time at that moment to the fate of one human being that was impacted by his testimony right there. He didn't go to the cross thinking these things. He went to the cross thinking, this is the end. And all of a sudden, he's witnessing somebody that's different and is impacting him. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He says, what's wrong with you? Don't you fear God? Don't you fear what's going to happen when you die? Aren't you the least bit concerned? Why is this man concerned? Because the light of the gospel is right in front of him, and it's penetrating that darkness, and it's giving him hope.
maybe, just maybe, that man can help him. Man, that's incredible to hear him now. He is now saying, what's wrong with you? Is there no fear in your head? You're getting ready to go out of this world to a place. You don't even know what's on the other side of that. In verse 41, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Now, where did he come to that conclusion? See, along the way, I wonder if in his jail cell the night before, if you asked him, hey, are you guilty? They're all there. You know, the pot's never theirs. The crack pipe belongs to somebody else. I don't know who put it in my car, right? I mean, I've met very few people when I'm preaching in jail that said, yeah, I did it. You know, they're always like, I don't know how it got there. But now all of a sudden, this guy is being honest. He said, we are getting what we deserve. I wonder when he came to that conclusion. When he saw an innocent man getting what he did not deserve. And all of a sudden he felt the guilt of his whole life. And what he's saying is, I am a sinner. I deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. Man, he's getting closer, Greg. I mean, that light is revealing things to him at rapid speed. I mean, he's only got minutes and it's over. Jesus is just barely hanging on. I mean, just trying to breathe. And soon, he's going to go home. And this guy all of a sudden realizes he's guilty and Jesus is innocent. Then he goes on and said, and he said unto Jesus, and after he said that, in verse 41, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now he takes a bold step. The other one's been addressing Jesus. It doesn't appear that he said much to him. And now he stops with what's been happening in his heart, and here's what he says. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, could you imagine? He's been called all kinds of things by all kinds of people. And now he hears a very kind voice recognizing who he is. And he says, Lord, could you imagine Jesus? He's in and out of, he's losing blood. And he hears, Lord. Now he wasn't, he was beat beyond. Can you imagine him as soon as he heard that word begin to pick up his head and listen as a sinner cried out to him? The tender word, Lord, remember the day you did that? And the second you did that, miles away from wherever heaven is, he heard you. All the noise of the shouting and the screaming and the crucify and the swearing and the condemnation in that crowd, out of all that noise all around him, the wailing and the crying, he heard one name, Lord, and it got his attention. And Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus, know that, had heard the other conversation where he admitted that he's a sinner and Jesus isn't. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wow. Jesus looked over and he said, I'm going to do you one better. Today you'll be with me, but I'm not going to have nails in my hands. You're going to be with me, but I'm not going to have blood running down my face. In just a few minutes, I'm home free, and I'm going to take you with me. A thief. A guilty thief, just like that, became an heir of heaven.
And Jesus took him with him. Could you imagine showing up in paradise and saying, well, who's this? A new friend, where'd you meet him? Back there on the cross. How'd he get here? I told him my story. Guys, the world, it still works, Lloyd. That story will still cause somebody to stop in a street and listen. I've watched strangers tear up just telling them about it. Doesn't mean they always accept it, but man, does it ever impact at the moment? And they either got to fight that off or they got to accept it. And what happened on that cross is Jesus told his story while he was telling it to the world. He told it to one right next to him. We can't get our mind off of what it's about. People die. You think COVID's bad? Try going to hell for all of eternity. You think these riots are bad? The day's getting shorter. Night's coming. When no man can work. And there's so many distractions from what we're supposed to be doing. And what we're supposed to be doing, tomorrow I'll just tell your story. Remember when I asked that blind man, what happened to you? Who did this? Is he the Son of God? You know what he said? He got tired of the questions. He said, I'm going to tell you one more time. I don't know about all that stuff. I can just tell you this. I once was blind, but now I see. He said, I can just tell you that. I can just tell you I was on my way to hell, and now I'm on my way to heaven. That's all I know. My story is this. I was guilty. He's innocent. He loved me. He reached out to me. He found me. I accepted him, and I'm a child of God, and you can be too. And I don't know why the Lord changed that. I've enjoyed just visiting with him. That's the greatest person I've ever met. Wouldn't you love to just sit right there with them? Being around 100% kindness and love. That'd impact you. Well, guys, all I can say is maybe why don't we go out here and take this story, stick it in your heart. Just take a deep breath. God can handle your problems. He can take care of that. There's nothing too big for him. Right? And even though it might not go away, you can always rely on what Paul found out, his grace is sufficient. So just take a deep breath, put it in his hands, and get back to telling your story. Because that's just what we need to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for just being able to visit a little bit with who you are. Lord, thank you for sharing that with us tonight. Can't help after we read that. May there be a heavy burden on all of us to tell our story to the people out there. Even if they don't hear it, even if they don't listen, I'll never get tired of what you did for me. And I'm sorry that we let sin distract us. I'm sorry for letting you down and getting bogged down in the mess of this world. I'm sorry for the times you've had to watch me act far less than the Son. Did you forgive us? And just help us to get back to telling your story. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thanks for coming, and see you on Wednesday.